morning. House Finance on the record. Let the record reflect. It is 9:06 a.m. on Friday, April 1st, 2022. Happy April Fool's Day, everyone. Present today, we have Representative Thompson, Representative LeBon. Online, we have Vice Chair Ortiz and Co-Chair Foster. And then we have Representative Josephson, Representative Wohl, Representative Johnson, myself, Co-Chair Merrick. And this morning, we're going to hear some public testimony on two pieces of legislation, House Bill 272, increasing the BSA, and House Bill 273, increasing the BSA with inflation, by Representative Story. We will take public testimony on these bills together, and testifiers will be limited to 2 minutes. So I will invite Representative Story to the table if she has any opening comments.
Thank you. And for the record, Representative Andy Story, House District 34, proudly representing the Mendenhall Valley here in Juneau. Thank you, Co-Chair Merrick, and all the members of House Finance. These bills, House Bill 272, to increase the base student allocation. Want to remind us all that it is a two-year funding bill, the idea being it's sound education funding policy to set the BSA for 2 years so districts can plan knowing the number, and that number allows for a modest increase to meet fixed expenses. I think this shows our school community, parents, that we understand as legislators that districts have to have their budgets to oftentimes their assemblies by March, April, and so this allows them to not have to pink slip teachers, because we oftentimes do not know the budget number till after their deadlines are due to the municipalities. It also recognizes that we understand that there are fixed costs that go up. And this modest increase allows legislators, if they so choose, to invest in certain initiatives for education, such as possibly like a reading intervention bill. And by allowing a slight increase, a modest increase, it allows us to keep, districts can keep their interventions, a focus on keeping classroom services. And then House Bill 273 takes care of more forever needs. It sets a three-year average of inflation with a one-year lag, and in crafting what the increase should be starting in June 1st, 2024, and July's after, would increase for modest increase recognizing inflation. And it's over a three-year average for the Consumer Price Index of Urban Alaska, because a three-year average with a one-year lag takes into account not ups and downs you might have. There was a huge spike in inflation last year. We don't know what's gonna be next year, but since it's based on the Alaskan economy, it helps smooth out big spikes that districts would have to take into account, and then those that could be lesser. And again, it takes care of recognizing that we know as policymakers costs go up, and we are recognizing that and putting some stability into our districts. And I think as policymakers, it's a very wise way to go. Knowing that we have a constitutional obligation to maintain our schools, an obligation that we, quite frankly, have been falling behind on. As you know, the base student allocation has been flat funded since fiscal year 17, and this has put downward pressure on education as schools are forced to cut classroom services to cover fixed costs that we've really heard about in this bill, such as basic utilities, insurance, basic maintenance. I did want to just point out before we go to public testimony that you have received several letters, I think over 60, that are really thoughtful, really written, and really are heartfelt, and really draw our attention to how schools have been losing some of the things that really motivate kids in school. Music, librarians, which help with reading. I think increased class sizes we've been hearing about, where that's how our kids get some extra attention, adult attention, to help with their learning. So really encourage you to read those. And I know that we really want to have Alaska have a strong workforce. We want to retain and attract our families to know that we are going to recognize increased costs and make our schools strong and our children thrive. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Representative Story. Any comments from the committee before we begin? Seeing none, we will go first here to the room. We have Emily Ferry. Ms. Ferry, welcome to House Finance. Please state your name, affiliation. Pardon me, I need to open public testimony on House Bills 272 and 273.
Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Emily Ferry. I live here in Juneau. I'm testifying on behalf of myself. I do work with the Association of School Boards, which affords me the opportunity to look at data across our state over time and also look around at what the best practices are in other states. So I'm going to bring a little bit of that perspective. But my role today and my most important job is as a mom. I have three middle school students. So I know that you've heard a lot about the impact of the many years of funding reductions for our schools. I wanted to talk a little bit about those impacts. What we've seen schools do is act as if they're in going into hypothermia, conserving resources, right? Saving things for the most critical parts. But it turns out to be, you know, a fully functioning human, you need your arms and legs. Our extremities are important. And we're seeing the impacts of those reductions now. We're seeing them play out in large scale ways across the state when it comes to our workforce. We do not have a workforce that's ready for the federal funding and the other opportunities that are coming our way. I think anyone you talk to that's trying to hire right now would speak to that. And then our data speaks to that too. You know, if we look at our post-secondary outcomes, we have the worst outcomes in the nation. I'm gonna repeat that again. This is data from our state, from the Post-Secondary Education Commission, but we have the lowest rate of students enrolling in college. We have the lowest rate of students completing college. This is a crisis. I think we just need to be aware of that fact. When we look at what other states are doing to increase their workforce readiness, they are investing in counselors and advisors. That has been the key for states like Tennessee, which has one of the best post-secondary going rates at this point in time. We in our schools, due to our cuts, have been cutting counselors. You know, one school I'm aware of went from having five counselors to one counselor. You know, so that was an extremity that you can cut for a year or two, but over time we're paying the toll. We're also paying a toll just in our classrooms. My son's class of 30 students had two students attempt suicide this year. This is a real and prescient crisis right now, and it's also a long-term crisis. So thank you for doing what you can to increase funding for our schools.
Thank you, Ms. Ferry. I see no questions. So we appreciate you coming in today to testify. Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. What you mentioned your son and his classmates, sad news. What grade is the level is that?
He's in eighth grade. Yeah, class of 30. It's across the state in every socioeconomic circumstance. Our kids are in crisis and they need some more support.
Thank you for that. Okay, I see no one else in the room wishing to testify, so we will move to our online testifiers. First, all the way from Texas, it looks like Norm Wooten with the Association of Alaska School Boards. Mr. Wooten, welcome back to House Finance. If you could state your name, affiliation, and please begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you very much. Good morning, members of the House Finance Committee. My name is Norm Wooten. I'm the Director of Advocacy for the Association of Alaska School Boards. And just anecdotally, I will be back in Alaska later on this month. Anxious to be back. I've come before you this morning to speak in favor of both HB 273 and HB 272. The base student allocation was placed into Alaska's Educational Foundation funding formula as a way to meet the requirement for maintaining a system of public education cited in Article 7, Section 1 of the Alaska State Constitution. The BSA was designed to create a standard for the legislature to ensure that education was adequately funded each year based on the number of students enrolled during the October count period. However, the BSA has not been adjusted since 2017 to make allowances for the annual increases occurring in the cost of living. It seems disingenuous to expect school districts to increase student achievement while costs continue to rise and districts are forced to do more with less each year. I respectfully remind you of all the services school districts must fund to operate a school district. These include things such as transportation, travel, utilities, curricula, office supplies, janitorial supplies, salaries, health insurance, technology devices, internet connectivity, facility maintenance, and a myriad of other services. As costs continue to rise for fixed costs, the classroom is impacted and students suffer. It seems reasonable to routinely increase the base student allocation amount based on an accepted standard such as the Consumer Price Index for urban Alaska. Should a district lose or gain students, the BSA will decrease or increase. However, the district budget will be mitigated from the effects of inflation. AASB has several resolutions supporting both HB 272 and HB 273, which I've attached in my written testimony that will be forwarded to the Finance Committee. I ask for your support for HB 272 and 273. Thank you so much for your support of public education and for the service you provide Alaska through your service as legislators. Thank you very much, Co-Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wooten. We appreciate you calling in to testify. Next up in Anchorage with the Alaska Association for School Principals is Douglas Gray. Welcome, Mr. Gray. Please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you, Representative Merrick and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Douglas Gray, and I'm testifying on behalf of the Alaska Association for Elementary School Principals, and I am a principal in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm asking for you to support House Bill 272 and 273 as a way to increase and inflation-proof the base student allocation. We have not seen an increase in some time, which continues to create a disparity between districts' current budgets and the increases we are experiencing with inflation. Districts are seeing programs designed to meet students' need either become stagnant or cut as funds are no longer available to implement. As we climb out of the pandemic, schools are working to address the learning loss experiences at many levels. This learning loss impact will infiltrate our schools at many levels. One way that we can meet this challenge and have already been doing it is by implementing a systems of multiple tiers of systems of support. This is a research-based approach to addressing students' needs by identifying and targeting skills for success. In many cases, students are able to gain the necessary skills in less than a year. Many districts in our state utilize an MTSS approach as an effective and efficient means to increase student success. Unfortunately, schools are being forced to prioritize funds that can erode the effectiveness of this model as class sizes increase and staff decrease due to the cuts from the budget as they become more and more stretched. Just these two factors significantly impact a school's ability to establish schedules and groups that are needed to provide that targeted instruction that is so important for student improvement. This is just one example demonstrating the need to provide funding to allow schools to implement strong and meaningful strategies that keep our students on track for graduation. Please support House Bill 272 and 273 as a way to allow schools to continue to implement programs that benefit all students. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. We appreciate you calling in. This is Representative Merrick. Did you say you're with the Alaska Association for Elementary School Principals?
Yes, I did.
Is there another group that represents middle school and high school principals?
Yes, there is. There's another association that we'll say secondary school principals.
Great. Thank you very much for that clarification. We appreciate
we
appreciate your testimony. And I will remind folks that if you would like to submit written testimony, you can send that to house.finance@akleg.gov. Again, house.finance@akleg.gov. Next up here in Juneau is Katie Botts. Welcome back to House Finance. If you could please state your name, affiliation, and begin your testimony, Katie.
Good morning. My name is Katie Boast, and I'm from Juneau, Alaska, but I'm currently in Fort Myers, Florida, calling in. I would like to say thank you to Representative Story for both HB 272 and 273. And I want to thank the House Chair and the members for allowing public testimony. I respectfully ask that you guys consider in passing both of these bills, as I am a bus driver and an auntie of many species and abuse, and I am highly concerned about the students' well-being coming out of COVID-19, and would like to ensure more stability for our schools and for our students, especially just watching the students on the buses going through COVID-19 is a grave concern of mine. And I would like to know that all of the students, whether grade school or high school, can have the support that they need and can be able to be as active as I was growing up. So please pass these bills.
Great. Thank you, Katie. We appreciate you calling in all the way from Florida. I know we're jealous. Okay, next up is a constituent of mine with NEA Alaska, Mr. Tom Claymire. Welcome back, Mr. Claymire. Please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Good morning. For the record, my name is Tom Claymire, and I currently serve as the president of NEA Alaska. So every day I hear from our members directly about the real and devastating consequences that underfunding of our public education system has on our students. The funding of public education is the single most important constitutionally mandated appropriation of the legislature. Increasing the base student allocation and protecting it against the ravages of inflation is long overdue, and I thank Representative Story for bringing this legislation forward. For those of us who say that we can't increase funding until we have better outcomes, I state respectfully that logic is fundamentally flawed. We cannot ignore the fact that there is a correlation with those states whose students are performing well and their investments in education, which provide the resources students need to be successful. It is true that our outcomes relative to other states have declined over the last several years. However, that should come as no surprise, since that's exactly the same time period since we've gutted teacher retirement and flat-funded education. When retirement compensation and public school funding were among the best in the nation, our student outcomes compared quite positively to students across the country. Yet while our funding has stayed flat, so have our results. Meanwhile, other states have improved their outcomes by increasing their investments in education. If we are truly serious in our intent to improve student outcomes, both fully and forward funding our schools will allow us to do the many things our children need and deserve. We can attract and retain the high-quality educators, administrators, and education support professionals necessary to support the academic success of our students. Rather than advocating for basic needs, we could get back to the business of inspiring our students to explore their creativity and preparing the children of Alaska to become successful, well-rounded, and productive members of our society. We simply cannot expect students to perform better until we correct our lagging investment in public education. I urge the passage of House Bills 272 and 273. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Claymire. We're pleased that you were able to call in today. Next, also in Anchorage, is Jennifer Sonny. Jennifer, welcome to House Finance. If you could please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Sure. Thank you. This is Jennifer Sana. I live in Anchorage. I am here representing myself, but full disclosure, I'm a candidate for State House this year. I'm calling to register my support for both House Bills 272 and 273 to increase the base student allocation. Just as we've seen our own household costs rise over the last year, the school's costs have also risen. Just as we're putting more expensive gas in our tanks, buses are putting more expensive diesel in theirs. Without funding to match the pace of the rise in costs, impossible choices arise, like, do we heat the building to a comfortable learning environment, or do we keep the class sizes down, or do we provide enough counselors? Schools should be able to do all of these things. They shouldn't have to choose. So So we need to keep up with the pace of inflation and, you know, bridge that gap with House Bill 272. So I urge the support for House Bills 272 and 273 because we owe Alaska's kids the investment in their education, and we owe teachers fair pay and benefits. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for calling in. I see no questions. Next, we will move to Josh Brandsetter in Anchorage. Mr. Brandsetter, welcome to House Finance. If you could state your name, affiliation, and please begin your two-minute testimony.
Hi, my name is Joshua Albeza Brandsetter. I'm calling in from Anchorage, and I'm calling as a parent of a child in the Anchorage School District, as well as a member of the Coalition for Neurodivergent Students. In Anchorage, we have a huge population of students that are neurodivergent. Many of them might have AIEPs, many of them might not. And as a parent who entered into the school system and didn't realize what my son needed, my son is autistic and has dysgraphia, it was very difficult in a school in which both I didn't understand the situation and my school didn't have the resources to provide for him, let alone all of the many students that are in there. Having talked to a lot of parents, I hear again and again how when schools are short on funding, they have to cut aid, they have to cut special resources, they have to cut a lot of these extra things just to keep things afloat. And aside from special needs funding, simply increasing the base allocation is severely out of date, and accommodating for inflation is a step in the right direction. I hear parents who care so deeply about in being involved as involved as possible in their schools they can, and mothers that are coming to lunch and sitting with their kids because their school says we can't have an aide there for your child. We can't have someone watch them if they need to sit in another room. We can't have someone to help in kindergarten, in your classroom. Simply having those extra resources is a step in the right direction. And when a school knows that they can't provide these extra resources that they see these kids needing, it can create an adverse educational experience for that child right from the get-go, right from kindergarten, like what my son had when I didn't understand what he needed, and the school didn't feel like they could provide what he needed. Having this moderate increase can make a huge difference. And so I just hope that HB 272 and HB 273 will get everyone's support in this room and get that passed for my son and for all the other parents that I speak to every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brandsetter. This is Representative Merrick. Can you repeat the name of the coalition that you referenced?
Yes, the Coalition for Neurodivergent Students.
Great. Thank you very much. We appreciate you calling in today.
Thank you.
Next in Cordova with the Cordova School District is Barb Jewell. Welcome, Ms. Jewell. If you could state your name, affiliation, and please begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you. My name is Barb Jewell. I am with the Cordova School District Board of Education. I want to thank the House Finance Committee for taking testimony today. I'm grateful for your consideration of HB 272 and 273, and to Representative Story for bringing these forward. These bills start to address gaps that have been created by long-term underfunding of education in the state of Alaska. The persistent, inaccurate rhetoric about Alaska's funding at schools at higher levels than other states has had an extensive negative impact on the funding of education and has been proven to be inaccurate. I referenced the study done by Eisner in 2019, which I believe many of you have seen. When adjusted for the cost of doing business in Alaska, we are actually spending 2% less on education than the national average. And this is directly related to the poor physical conditions of our buildings, our difficulty recruiting and retaining teachers, and our lower than wished for academic outcomes. In Cordova, the lack of an increase in the base student allocation has resulted in higher numbers of students in our classrooms and fewer staff in the buildings. We no longer have a librarian. We do not have our preschool anymore. These are just a few of the impacts of lack of funding. Other speakers have spoken eloquently about why the BSA should be increased. We all know that the cost of doing business in Alaska is higher than in many states, and thus the cost of education is going to be higher, especially in rural and off-road communities like Cordova. It costs us more to get supplies and heat our buildings. our insurance costs for health, our building, and liability are all higher. We have to pay more to get our teachers here. And we all know that these costs have risen over time and are rising higher and faster this year. And yet the base student allocation has not been increased since 2017. HB 272 and 273 start to address these facts, and HB 273 sustainably addresses the impact of inflation, which will continue to help going forward. These don't close the gap, but they get us headed in the right direction. We will not meet all of our goals for improving education in 1 year, but let's start making progress. Please pass HB 272 and 273. These bills will directly improve the lives of our students. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jewell. We appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts. I will note, if you're listening in and you'd like to call in for public testimony on House Bills 272 and 273, if you're in Juneau, the number is 907-586-9085. If you're in Anchorage, it's 907-563-9085. And if you're in another community, you can call 844-586-9085. Next up, we have, looks like, Bessie Weston from LKSD, a board member there. If you could, Ms. Weston, welcome. If you could state your name, affiliation, and please begin your testimony.
Good morning. I'm Bessie Weston with the Lower Cusco Crim School District. I'm a board member. Thank you, House Finance Committee, for this opportunity to testify. I represent the communities of Kipnuk, Shefornik, Gwishnuk, and Mikoyak. I am from Mikoyak, in the Bering Sea, so my testimony comes primarily from that perspective. Mikoyak has a total of 41 students, K through 12. House Bill 272 would provide an extra $2,255 for a new Leavenworth school. This, in reality, is very small, but we need every little bit that we can get. So I fully support House Bill 272. I would also like to point out that we have received quotes for fuel coming in, comparable to last year. So the information, the data that I have comes from the city of Mikoyak, who I am employed by. The increase in price is going to be about 60%. So I fully support House Bill 272. And if I calculated correctly, the average annual inflation percentage, and it's urban, that's urban, not rural, is about 2.2% since 2017. I think it's 2017 to 2021. I can pretty confidently say that the percentage is going to spike enough that it could have a crippling effect on our education system that is already spread so thin that you could almost see through it. And this is why I support House Bill 273, with hopes that the percentage used once passed will be on the highest end of the spectrum. Thank you all. Thank you, co-chair. Special thanks to Representative Story, Drummond, Sunhold, Hopkins, Strage, Annan, and Volkowski as sponsors of these bills.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Weston. We appreciate you calling in. Next, from Fairbanks, the CEO of the Fairbanks North Star School District, Andy DeGraw. Welcome, Mr. DeGraw. If you could state your name, affiliation, and please begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you, Co-Chair Merrick. My name is Andy DeGraw. I'm testifying on behalf of Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. And just a clarification, I'm the Chief Operations Officer here in Fairbanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm testifying in support of House Bill 272 and 273. There's been much talk around the state from districts of an impending fiscal cliff that's fast approaching. Unfortunately, here in Fairbanks, we are already headed down the side of the mountain, so to speak. Because of many reasons, we're employing a two-year step-down approach to our fiscal deficits. We face a $19 million FY23 shortfall and a $23 million FY24 deficit. So because we don't have enough federal COVID relief funds and our fund balance has been largely depleted, again, we're employing a two-year step-down approach. Our FY23 budget currently includes the closure of three schools in our district. It's about 10% of our buildings, and it includes approximately 130 staff reductions. These staff reductions include classroom teachers, teacher aides, counselors, e-learning staff, amongst other instructional staff. And of course, these cuts come after significant reductions in administrative positions, such as assistant principals, activity coordinators, secretaries, and other district office staff that support education in the classroom. It's important to note that even prior to the challenges of COVID-19, school districts were approaching significant fiscal challenges because of the five consecutive years without an increase to the BSA. Many of the fixed cost pressures that we're facing, as well as many other districts, are in the areas of transportation, technology. There's been much talk of utility increases that are occurring right now. We received a 25 to 40% increase in different areas of our utilities here in Fairbanks this year. And then health insurance is a constant pressure. It's become about 20% of our budget here in Fairbanks. So in closing, I just want to ensure the committee that if there's a narrative that's floating around the district simply want a handout, that certainly isn't the case here in Fairbanks. We're making the hard decisions necessary to balance our budget and to maintain financial viability going forward. And we've taken many, many hard steps and made many hard decisions. And we're really just getting to the point to where if they're without a lifeline, we're going to have to make decisions that will continue a significant negative impact to students' education in the classroom. So urge the committee to support HB 272 and 273. And again, thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you, Mr. Dragaa. And this is Representative Merrick. You said you were closing three schools in your district. Have you seen a big reduction in the number of students in the district?
We saw an initial decrease from due to COVID, as many districts around the state did. We've recouped about half of those students. We were seeing here in Fairbanks, we were seeing significant long-term declines even prior to COVID. So the discussion of school closures has been going on for some time, and I think the negative effects of COVID just kind of brought those discussions and conversations to a head and provided us the opportunity to make those difficult decisions. So.
Okay, well, thank you for that information. We appreciate your testimony today. Next, also from Fairbanks, Marla Stachowicz. If you could please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. My name is Marla Stachowicz, S-T-A-T-S-C-E-W-I-C-H, and I live in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I have no affiliation. I do have two kids in elementary school, and I'm very proud of the job that teachers are doing despite the increased class sizes and less funding and less help. You to support HB 272 and HB 273. The BSA hasn't been increased in 5 years, and we need to keep up with the cost of living. We need to be able to keep our excellent teachers in our community, and receiving pink slips discourages them from putting down roots. Continuous cuts are not the solution. We need to be able to provide our teachers and students with the funding that can give them stability and the best education we can provide. I've been asking our school board to find new funding instead of continuing to cut important programs and resources. And this sounds like the start to a solution to our financial problems and troubles in our state, and in particular in Fairbanks, as you just heard from the previous caller. Just want to thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Marla, for calling in. Next from Anchorage with the Anchorage School Board is Kelly Lessons. Ms. Lessons, welcome to House Finance. Please state your name, affiliation, and you can begin your two-minute testimony.
Good morning. Thank you so much. My name is Kelly Lessem. I'm a parent of two children in ASD and a member of the Anchorage School Board. I also chair the board's finance committee. I'm speaking in support of House Bills 272 and 273 this morning, but I want to emphasize that those bills will not address the scope of our district's needs without the additional passage of House Bill 259, and I'll be happy to email the committee a recent infographic produced by our CFO to this effect. Adequate predictable funding allows ASD to determine the PTR, that's the pupil-to-teacher staffing ratios that establish the number of teachers allocated per school. This current year, ASD has applied the second round of federal relief funds towards maintaining an unchanged PTR, which starts at 21 for kindergarten and goes up to 30.25 for high school. Without those federal funds, which really act as a band-aid for the inflationary losses we've seen, we would have been looking at PTRs in kindergarten of 25 and high school up to 34.25. Next year, ASD is going to be allocating $56.5 million towards maintaining those same PTRs, starting at 21 up to 30.25, with our third round of federal funds. Without those, we would have been looking at kindergarten PTRs of 31 and high school PTRs of over 40. But even with those funds, our metrics mean that we're going to be losing nearly 60 teacher FTE. That's the full-time equivalent across the district next year. Appendix G, as in growth, in ASD's FY23 budget details how those losses are going to play out in every school. We're going to be losing 1.5 teachers from Baxter Elementary, 2 from Stan Lake, 2.5 each from Chugiak, Eagle River, and Alpenglow Elementary schools, and a shocking 5 from Fire Lake Elementary. These are not anomalies, and larger class sizes and more split grade level classes will be the result. Since the BSA was last adjusted, ASD has implemented efficiencies, including closing 2 schools and increasing revenue opportunities. But flat funding in the face of inflationary drivers and enrollment changes has meant that your constituents' children have done more with less. The board has adopted strong goals for increased rates of reading and math proficiency, as well as career college life readiness by 2026. But increased class sizes as a result of ongoing flat funding in the face of inflation will not facilitate those goals. I think it's really telling, in closing, that every one of our 3 superintendent finalists expressed grave concerns about the state of ASD's fiscal cliff, which is looming in September of 2024. One of them called it, quote, a train wreck, and that's what it is. All of them, however, understand the role of the legislature in adequately funding education. In closing, please support student learning as we move forward out of the pandemic by supporting House Bills 272 and 273. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lessons. We appreciate your testimony today. Next, from NACMIC, Superintendent of the Bristol Bay School District, Bill Hill. Welcome, Mr. Hill. If you could state your name, affiliation, and please begin your two-minute testimony.
Good morning, Co-Chair Merrick and members of the committee. My name is Bill Hill, Superintendent of Schools for the Bristol Bay Borough School District, the very same district I graduated from in 1987. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of HB 272 and HB 273, two very important bills for Alaska's children. I want you to know that BBSD has worked very hard to take care of and use the money that you've provided in a very good manner. We've worked diligently during my tenure to ensure that our students receive the best possible education with the funding we receive. Some of the efforts we've made are to reduce certified staffing by combining elementary classes, reduce classified staffing, reduce district office staffing by 50%, outsource some district office functions to other entities, increased the efficiency of our schools and decreased our O&M budget by more than 20%, worked with our assembly to secure the maximum level of funding that they can provide by law, developed a working relationship with our public works department to help our maintenance director meet the school's needs. We've secured both state and federal grants to support our pre-K programming. Most of our high school students now have one or more distance delivery courses. We've partnered with our local clinic to provide SEL services. And we've developed relationships with regional school districts, Southwest Region, Lake and Penn, Dillingham City, our regional native corporation, BBNC, our regional economic development corporation, BDEDC, the university, and Avtech to provide CTE education to our students. We've done a great job of maximizing our efficiencies and securing additional funding, but we are running out of options. We need stable, predictable funding so that we can operate BBBSD in a predictable, business-like manner. Funding that recognizes the increasing costs that districts face on an annual basis. Funding that allows districts to recruit and retain teachers. High teacher turnover rates have direct negative impact on student performance. We're seeing fewer mid-career teachers as new hires often leave by the fifth year of their employment. Recruiting new staff is becoming a crisis for Alaska schools. We've always looked out of state for our teachers, but we are now looking out of country. We need salaries that allow our teachers to take care of their own families. New teachers at our school in 2021 immediately qualified for emergency rental assistance. Our teachers deserve better. We need forward funding to allow schools to properly plan for upcoming school years. This is directly related to sound fiscal management as well as providing our staff and our students with a stable education. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of HB 272 and 273. They are great steps towards meeting our obligation to Alaska students. Thank you for your work in supporting education for our students, and I hope you'll be supporting these bills as well.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. This is Representative Merrick. How many schools and how many students are in the Bristol Bay School District?
We have two schools, all housed under the same roof. We have an elementary school and a middle school, high school. Our student counts over the past 3 or 4 years have been running about 100, a little over 100 brick and mortar, and an additional dozen in our correspondence.
Great. Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. Next, the Petersburg High School principal, Rick Dormer. If you could please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thank you, Representative Merrick and committee members for taking time to hear my testimony. My name is Rick Dormer. I'm principal of Petersburg High School and Mitkoff Middle School here in Petersburg, Alaska, of course. I'm also the secondary school principal's president-elect. I heard you spoke with Principal Gray, who I work with closely, in the elementary school principal, so representing that. And again, just testifying here in support of House Bill 272 and 273. As many others have stated, again, we're battling with increased costs for the many, many facets of running a successful district. Petersburg, like many of the districts down here in Southeast, is a center and a hub of our community. Our school obviously houses some fantastic students and teachers and staff that support student learning every day, and we're doing it at greater and greater cost with the continued flat funding for several years now, I believe back since 2017. As a community center, we host other things as well that just support the community, in addition just children. Just recently, this last week, we supported some of our Vietnam vets and had a wonderful assembly honoring just the sacrifice they've made to our country. What a wonderful thing to have to support. We do things like this week after week, day after day, and again, continue to do it with this flat funding. We thank you again for looking at these bills. Thank you for Representative Story for crafting these and just recognizing how important our students, our staff, and our schools are to our communities. Thank you again for taking the time to think about inflation-proofing the base student allocation through House Bills 272 and 273. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Dormer. We appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts. Next in Soldotna, we have Superintendent of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District and the Superintendent Association, Clayton Holland. Welcome, Mr. Holland. Please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony.
All right. Thank you. For the record, my name is Clayton Holland. I am the Superintendent of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Thank you, Representative Merrick. I am a native of Eagle River. I grew up there, and I appreciate your service to that community.
Thank you.
So I am calling in support of House Bill 272 and 273, and I'll speak from the Kenai perspective. The KPBSD has a strong history of providing solid outcomes for our students. We have done this even while facing difficulties with staffing and while going through not only COVID, but an ongoing opiate crisis that has greatly impacted many of our students' lives, not only here, but around the state. We are committed to improving literacy rates and supporting and being part of the solution for all Alaskans. We also support efforts to increase career and technical education opportunities and outcomes through measures such as House Bill 108. To do this, we need to have consistent and predictable funding so that we can plan ahead and have the staff and course offerings that allow us to meet these objectives. We all know the impacts of inflation this year in particular, and rising health, liability, and property insurance costs, along with a drastic increase in heating costs. With a BSA that has not been adjusted since 2017, these impacts have been felt acutely here and across the state. Currently, federal funds have allowed us to keep 78 staff members here in the Kenai that we otherwise would have had to cut. We are facing a massive financial cliff, as are many other districts. We did hear some are, you know, facing it right now. That will have a severe impact on our local schools. A conversation we've been having here in the Kenai a lot is about strong schools going hand in hand with a strong economy. and now is the time to take steps that ensure we have both of those in Alaska. House Bill 272 and 273, along with other aspects of a long-term fiscal plan, will do this. I do encourage you to take action on 272 and 273 and provide that stability that we all need in Alaska. And finally, I just want to thank you all for your service to our state and for hearing us today.
Thank you, Mr. Holland. We appreciate your testimony, and I'll say that it's disheartening to hear that your district as well is having problems with students using opioids. That's been a topic of conversation here in this committee, so I appreciate you bringing that forward.
May I clarify, Representative Merrick?
Yes, please.
I'd like to say it's our families, not our students, but families, students growing up in households that have been impacted by this. So particularly a few years ago, I think it has gotten better, but we get all students coming to us, and we have a lot of work to do for those students who have been in dysfunctional situations.
Thank you very much for that clarification. I really appreciate it. That's an important thing to note. Okay. I'm glad to hear it, but not.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Next from Kenai is a history teacher, Nathan Erforth. Welcome. Please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you. I'm Nathan Erforth, and I come before you as a history teacher on the Kenai, and I'm here to speak in favor of this increase to the BSA. Every year, I have watched the opportunities available to my students dwindle. CTE, art, music, and theater programs canceled or shrunk, and course offerings beyond the bare requirements to graduate becoming scarce. Now we're cutting into the muscle as we have fewer and fewer educators to serve our students in need of special services or extra support, counselors that retire but are not replaced. Because the BSA remains flat every year, the citizens of Alaska invest just a little bit less into the future of our children. They're who I want to talk about today. I also want to address the phrase repeated by legislators, even those whose children have learned and thrived in our public schools. When I visited Juneau a few weeks ago, we deserve a better return on our investment. This argument relies on testing scores. A child's success and learning is in many ways unquantifiable, but at current we have no other measure. That said, anyone who has administered these constantly changing standardized tests that we're talking about knows that they are not a test of knowledge or competency. They're a test of whether a child has a home, had breakfast in the morning, or got into a fight with mom in the car on the way to school. It's a snapshot in time. The real measure of our system's success are the numerous award-winning students, the daily stories of learning and insight, and the many messages and visits we receive from our graduates thanking us for what we taught them. Children thrive when there is a richness of opportunity and inquiry, not a scarcity. They do best when there is a deep and well-founded support structure for them in their institutions, not when they're shuffled in and out to learn just the basics and take tests. Students in schools cut to the bone will perform accordingly, and their mental health will suffer. Education is more than the basics. Modern societies, ours included, need a lot from our schools. The bare minimum of education has moved to include a lot more services since the last time many have looked at schools. Our schools are, when properly funded, filled with qualified experts that are ready, willing, and able to change lives and support children through whatever challenges they face, of which there are no shortages. Our schools are, rightly so, the centers of our community. We must fund them as such. And let me reframe what I'm told every time I've told to do more with less and make even more sacrifices. It's for the children. Raise the BSA. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Erforth. We appreciate you calling in today. Next here in Juneau is the superintendent of the City and Borough of Juneau School District, Bridget Weiss. Welcome to House Finance, Ms. Weiss. If you could state your name, affiliation, and please begin your two-minute testimony.
Yes, thank you very much, Representative Merrick. This is Dr. Bridget Weiss. I am the superintendent in Juneau, Alaska, and president-elect for the Alaska Superintendent Association. I will be quick today. I have testified in multiple venues related to these two bills, HB 272 and 273, previously. I am a product of Juneau, Alaska, born and raised. I was able to leave Juneau and be fully equipped and prepared to tackle the world and begin my career in education 38 years ago. And it is my privilege to lead my home through our best efforts in the next generation of Juneauites that will go out, conquer, and return to Juneau and contribute. It is critically important that we have adequate funding and predictable funding. It literally brought me to tears to hear just earlier our bus driver and auntie express the needs as she sees them from her vantage point. I believe bus drivers are one of those groups of people for us that see kids at the beginning of their day and end of the day and understand more readily than some of us the needs that exist and support that they provide to our students. The needs are real. You've heard many of them today. Our fixed costs continue to go up. Our required expenses, excuse me, continue to increase, which requires us to cut these really valuable supports. In Juneau, we have over the past decade cut an assistant superintendent position that has never been refilled. Counselors at our middle school, we have one counselor for 550 students at each of our middle schools, one counselor for 550 students. We have lost class size, it has increased. We have cut in every way possible to manage this declining funding. The need is real, and the expectations for what we need to do in public education have gone up. And for us to do the creative, innovative work that we need to sustain and really build equitable systems inside of our schools and prepare students is based and dependent on this regular adequate funding that the state is obligated by statute to provide us. So I just really appreciate Andy Story bringing these two bills forward. I appreciate you taking testimony on it today. It is just truly critical to our mission. School districts in Alaska have a lot of work to do. Emily Ferry spoke to some of those statistics. I have a short time left of some degree after already spending 38 years in education, and I have a huge sense of urgency. I want to do that with all the tools available for our kids and our families and not do it with one hand tied behind my back. So I very much appreciate your support for these two bills. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Weiss. We appreciate you calling in. I am also a product of the Juneau School District.
That is wonderful. See, we want to produce more legislators, more superintendents, more teachers, more doctors, health workers. So I really appreciate all the work that you're doing at your level.
Great. Thank you so much for that. Next in Fairbanks is Elizabeth Nadine. Ms. Nadine, welcome to House Finance. Please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Nadine. My affiliation is that I'm a parent of two kids in the public school system in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I am calling additionally to support an increase in the base student allocation, supporting House Bills 272 and 273. And I'm, basically overjoyed to hear so much testimony this morning to support that, increase in funding for K-12 schools. I personally, would really like to emphasize that public schools, I'd love to see them better supported financially by the state. Somebody called in earlier and mentioned that, the enrollment in Fairbanks is going down, and I feel like what I'm seeing at the local school board level is kind of an emphasis on supporting alternative programs like homeschools, and I would really, really like to see the focus be on the public school system, like in-person buildings. I've seen that support for that, public school programs and teachers kind of carved away over the past year, especially. And then every year there seems to be like this additional stressor that teacher cuts have been announced, and they don't know how many teachers they'll be able to have in the schools. That depends on enrollment, but. That constant stress on the teachers, I think, makes education feel like an insecure future for people. So I feel like I've heard a lot of conversation about how schools can do better, and that seems wrong to me. I feel like our conversation instead should be about how our state and local community need to do better to support our public schools. So just to reiterate that I'm expressing support for the future of Alaska by expressing support of the House Bills 272 and 273. And thanks for your work.
Thank you, Ms. Nadine. We appreciate you calling in. I will remind callers, if you would like to join us, if you're in Juneau, you can call 907-586-9085 or in Anchorage, 907-563-9085. In Juneau, I don't know if I said 907-586-9085. I apologize. And then if you're off net, the number is 844-586-9085. And written testimony can be submitted to house.finance@akleg.gov. It looks like we have a few more testifiers here. With the Anchorage School Board, Margot Bellamy. Ms. Bellamy, welcome to Finance. If you could state your name, affiliation, and please begin your two-minute testimony. Ms. Bellamy, are you on mute?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Please proceed.
Thank you. I apologize.
That's okay.
For the record, my name is Margot Bellamy. I am the school board president for the Anchorage School Board. And I'd like to testify in absolute support of House Bills 272 and 273. So much has already been said. I just want to make it specific to Anchorage, but my heart and my words really apply to every kid in our state. They all deserve the best education possible. The Anchorage School Board has three strategic goals: reading proficiency, math proficiency, and life, college, and career ready. These bills will provide the needed funds to start implementing multi-year improvements and programs, and it will allow us to do it with confidence. So the pathway to achieving our goals includes a number of priorities and will require that we collaborate and partner with the Alaska State Legislature. So I am so happy and proud that Representative Sari and her team did the work on this, and that the committee is now considering. The legislature has provided one-time funding twice in the past 5 years, which helped the district avoid large-scale reductions in force. Federal relief dollars helped ASD maintain staffing levels for this fiscal year and for fiscal year 23. But there aren't enough federal funds to cover sustaining current staffing levels in future years. Although our funding has been flat for the past 5 years, the one-time funds and the federal relief funds have hidden a structural deficit of $10 to $12 million per year for the last 6 years. Since 2017, we have made decisions to offset our fiscal needs. The district has closed two schools, combined programs, merged schools, and reduce staff as needed in order to continue achieving a balanced budget. The lack of inflation-proof CSA means the district has been unable to confidently initiate multi-year improvement strategies. And each year, we're starting budget development with prioritizing what will be cut next. It is time for Alaska to implement an inflation-proof CSA in order to plan multi-year strategies aimed at improving student outcomes. House Bills 272 and 273 would help accomplish this necessary step. Reliable funding. For us, it is really simple. Reliable funding is the key to improving student outcomes through stabilizing schools and reducing our teacher turnover. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bellamy. We appreciate your testimony today. Next in Anchorage, David Boyle. Mr. Boyle, welcome. If you could state your name, affiliation, and begin your testimony.
Chairman Merrick, committee members, I'm David Boyle from Anchorage. And I have had two children matriculate through the Anchorage School District in the past. And you all know that here we spend $1.6 billion in K-12 funding for education. By the way, I do not support House Bill 272. And I've heard other people testify about the return on investment and using things like reading scores, et cetera, as a metric. And they say that this is not a very good metric. Well, I think when all of us went to school, we had a thing that was called tests. And those tests were used to measure how well we understood the material and comprehended it. And I think the reading test that the state uses, the math test that the state uses, are very good indicators of how well we're doing in education. And you all know we're not doing very well in Alaska. One thing will never change until we do things like this. Reward effective classroom teachers. Today, a teacher is a teacher based on their longevity and the amount of education, postgraduate education they have. In the Anchorage School District, for example, I'll show you how they constrain cost. They spent over $20 million paying bus drivers not to transport students. And over half of this was to a contractor that did absolutely nothing that year. So there's no cost control at any of the school district levels. And what's happening here is the school districts negotiate their contracts, and then they come to the legislature asking you to pay for the increased cost of those contracts. That's not fiduciary responsibility. So we need to have accountability for results. And I've listened to most of the speakers here, and they're all from the education industry, and I don't believe a single one of them talked about improving results in reading and math. They all are asking for money. So please, please, tie results to this bill. Otherwise, you're going to do the same thing we've been doing for 20 years, throwing money at the problem, and they'll be back again next year and next year asking for more. Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Boyle. We appreciate you calling in. Next, in Ketchikan, the business manager of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District, Katie Parrott, if you could please state your name, affiliation, and begin your testimony. Welcome.
Hello, good morning. My name is Katie Parrott. I'm the business manager for Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District, and I'm here this morning to speak in strong, avid support of HB 272 and HB 273. I think that being a new business manager in Ketchikan for the school district has been a fairly eye-opening experience over the last 3 years. You know, I was really struck by one of my first one of my first experiences as a new business manager and a leader in the district. I was able to sit in with a group of superintendents who were also new, meeting with some of their mentors, and to talk about kind of the challenges of being a superintendent in the state of Alaska. And I will never forget one of the superintendents who was a mentor expressing that she really wished she had more time to do the things that superintendents really should be focused on, such as instruction, programming to increase educational outcomes, to address achievement gaps. But instead, for part of the year, every single year, she had to be a finance manager, a budget advocate, a legislative advocate, and to spend so much of her time tracking with what was going on with state funding in order to know what basic services and programming and educational supports we were going to be able to provide. And that has always stuck with me. In the past 3 years, I've seen that become more of a focus and an issue. I think school districts for a long time have increasingly been asked to do more with less. But the point we're at now is that 7 years of flat BSA means that we're now doing less with less. The importance of these bills to our schools are so vital. We've seen a steady increase in several areas of our fixed costs in the last 2 years, specifically health insurance. For Ketchikan, our health insurance costs have doubled in 10 years, and we're still not funding that program at a level that it's sustainable. We know that Alaska has the highest health care costs in the nation, and there's not a lot that the individual school districts can really do to drive down those costs, except for to, you know, provide less benefits to our employees. And the thing that's scary about that is we're making those decisions in the midst of really having a recruitment and retention crisis in the state of Alaska. It's been nice that Ketchikan has not typically had the same kinds of recruitment and retention issues in previous years as many other districts in the state of Alaska, but that's not true anymore. Over the last 2 years, the numbers of certified positions that have gone unfilled are quite terrifying to us at this point. So in the context of having increased fixed costs and costs in our budget that we have to pay, that we're legally obligated to pay, that we don't have very much control over, that's happening at the same time where we really need to look at incentivizing our compensation and benefits so that we can get the very best professionals into our schools in order to increase those educational outcomes. And those things are all happening at the same time.
Ms. Parrott?
I think it's important.
I apologize. You're over your two-minute limit. Could you just wrap up, please?
I can. I just thank the committee for considering these bills. I'll tell you that for Ketchikan, if this passes, it's going to save us a lot of heartache. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Parrott. We appreciate you calling in today. Next, from NACNEC, the Teachers Union Bristol-based School District, Rebecca Ingalls. Welcome to House Finance. Please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you. So my name is Rebecca Ingalls. I'm a secondary mathematics teacher and also the union president for the Bristol Bay Borough School District. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I'm here in support of House Bill 272 and 273. Education has not seen an increase to the BSA in at least 5 years. Yet every year, the cost of running a school and providing a quality education for the future of Alaska increases. I've seen firsthand how our school has been battling and continues to battle teachers, support staff, substitute retention and shortages, just like Ketchikan mentioned, while also dealing with the ever-increasing utility costs. I've been with BBBSB for the last 11 years, and the number of staff we have since then has shrunk significantly to the point where we've combined classrooms to make sure we're still providing education for our students. I also sit on our hiring committee, and applicants, especially finding qualified applicants, are not plentiful. We have so few subs that when a teacher needs to be out sick, other teachers are adding to their own classrooms to cover. This is taking away from our students receiving the education they deserve. Our union and district have worked tirelessly together to find places we can cut so that we can maintain and attract staff while still providing our students with what they need and maintaining our building. It's time for the state to step up and do what's right for the future of our state. House Bill 272 would provide funding to help us play catch-up from the years of cutting budgets to maintain education for our students while we've been battling inflation. House Bill 273 would allow us to not find ourselves in this position again, as it would account for the increasing cost of operations that schools face, as well as the rest of the state has been facing. As our school likes to say, our kids are worth whatever it takes. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Ingalls. We appreciate your testimony and you taking time to call. I see no one else online and no one else in the room to testify. So I will close public testimony on House Bills 272 and 273. Any closing comments from the committee? Hearing none. I will remind folks that the amendments for these two pieces of legislation, House Bills 272 and 273, are due to my office by tomorrow at 6 p.m. This concludes our meeting for this morning. Our next meeting, pardon me, Representative Thompson.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair Merrick. I just had a question about what's going on and where we're at. I was looking forward on the schedule and I saw that there's a new bill coming up that's going to be introduced on April 7th, Thursday. And I was just wondering, that's a capitalization and a capital bill, and it looks like it's a committee bill. And I was just curious, if we're doing a committee bill, why we haven't heard about it before. So I feel like we should have been involved at least in talking about it. Is this going to replace the governor's capital budget?
We'll take a brief at ease. House Finance back on the record. Thank you, Representative Thompson. This is going to be a governor's bill. It's the IGA bill coming forward, and it has not been introduced yet. That's why it says pending introduction and referral. but when we met with OMB, they are we've been expecting this bill for quite a while, actually. So it's a governor's bill, and hopefully will come up next week.
All right, thank you.
Yes, thank you for that clarification. And with that, we have concluded our agenda. Our next meeting will be Monday, April 4th at 1 o'clock. Please note the time change, 1 p.m., and we will consider House Bill 229, Higher Education Investment Fund, Senate Bill 168, Donation Gifts for DOT and Public Facility Signage, and House Bill 307, Extend Bond Authority for Interior Energy Projects. I know we have big supporters of the interior here. So thank you so much. With that, at 10:16 a.m., we are adjourned.